Hi, Sarah, can you hear me? Hello.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I have a horrible glare. See, need to change the angle. I need to get me a cab then.
There you go. Do you have a window open or is it a light?
I'm on the front. The way our house is, the front room where the office is has the, you know, the arch windows, and we don't have a cover there. But I think if I just, you know, sit at an angle, it's going to work.
Okay.
Yeah. How are you?
Hanging in there like everybody else. We're crazy busy, but we're making a lot of progress. Everyone is working so hard. And I was telling Marge, I'm just so thankful we have the team that we have.
I can imagine. Yeah.
But it's awful. We're distributing Chromebooks right now till 6 o'clock, and then tomorrow they'll do it again from 10 to 12, and then 4 to 6, and then Saturday morning from 10 to 12.
Okay, wow.
You have to bend over backwards for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
What you got to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. It looks like Sarah is on. Hey!
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, hi. I'm learning.
Sarah, I was waiting. I kept getting a message saying you're connecting to audio, but you're not ready yet.
Well, I had to find a quiet place and a clean place.
Nice. We're not going to judge. It's like our parents says, you know, I kept asking my husband, do I look presentable enough?
So what the nice thing is, all you got to do is hit stop video.
There you go.
That's true.
Hey, so just so you know, Lourdes, this is recording. And then when we have to go into executive session for a minute, remind me to stop the recording.
Yes, that's very important.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Siri on my phone is asking me what I need. You gotta love technology. Yeah, it's been a crazy 2 weeks.
Oh,
it feels like a month.
Yeah,
it does.
Well, and actually, you know, as soon as we came back from Costa Rica, we have made the decision, we're just going to stay home.
Yeah.
Not all the mandates have been issued, but, you know, we feel, I guess, accountable, responsible, because we have been through airports and traveling, and, you know, there's always a question mark that we were just going to be home. Interestingly enough, you know, all the stay home, you know, mandates, you know, we're having issues since, so which made our decision even easier, I guess, and making us more responsible. But knock on wood, everybody that went and came back has been healthy, and it
that's
looks
awesome.
Like,
you would probably have known by now.
You figure that's how we feel. So at least we can say that we didn't bring it. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't catch it in the airport or through anything. We didn't bring it with us. So.
My son lives and works in New York City. Oh. So he lives in Brooklyn. I talked to him last night. He's doing okay. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't been to work since before we were in kind of like our first state of emergency. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that. But he says, Dad, it's a good thing I have Copper, which is his dog, because he said it would just be really rough.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't go anywhere up there. He just goes to the local grocery store, and that's basically it.
pretty much. That and that's the well, unfortunately, I've been dealing with sort of an eye condition, so I've been having to go see my eye doctor 3 times now. So I done that, and then Jorge has been doing the grocery run, but that's it. Pretty much it.
It's tough. Hey guys, let me try this because I've been working with Zoom a lot. I want to try sharing my screen with the agenda. And can you tell me if you see it? So bear with me here.
Yeah, actually, I have it. I have it up as well. So
you see, because I'm going to share my screen.
Yeah, actually, eventually for the financial report, yeah, we can see it. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll do stop share, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll get through this.
Yeah. Yeah. So and I wanna be very pointed. So I will kick off the meeting like I always do. Pause in case, because the Zoom information was posted on the website. Is that correct? When we posted agenda?
It's in the agenda.
Correct. So for all practical purposes, that was our way to indicate that this was open. So we need to allow, so I would just very quickly pause.
The nice thing is I will be able to see who joins the meeting.
Correct. And the host, keep an eye on that. So I certainly will ask you that. But I will make the point that we'll very quickly approve the meeting minutes from last time, so we don't accumulate that. Jonas send them out so people should have review, and very quickly focus on the two key agenda items, which is the financial report and the head of school I would like I don't know if Tiffany's gonna join or not, Greg, but after your financial report, maybe you can quickly do an operations update if Tiffany doesn't join. Just really the focus is what are we doing with the construction?
People want to
get an update on that. And then very quickly give it to Margie for the head of school so we can cover what we're going to cover on the public aspect of the meeting. And then I will announce that I need the board to stay, because we need to run a executive session due to personnel issues.
Perfect.
It looks like Jonas is joining.
Yes, I did. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
And Guillermina joined.
I'm clearly disconnected from reality, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Guillermina, this also would be your first meeting. It's interesting interesting circumstances, but
I know
because we're using Zoom, you get the opportunity to meet people and see who all participating through the utilizing the camera.
All right. Well, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hi. How are you? I'm Greg, by the way.
Nice seeing you, Greg. I've seen your email, so I appreciate your connection.
Excellent.
I'm Sarah Pesce.
Pesce family, Pesce, am I pronouncing the last name correctly?
That's right, Pesce.
Mm-hmm. Pesce. Okay, nice seeing you.
Yeah, so Sarah is one of our board members, but she's also a parent for the school.
Okay.
Very talented children she has. They're all participating in the plays and and all the artistic events.
Okay.
Very artistic family. Very talented.
Sarah, do they get that from you, Sarah? I'm just curious.
They get it from both of us. My husband's more outgoing, so he was more on the stage. My family in general.
Cool.
I personally know. I'm with the behind the scenes.
Nice.
But it's in their blood.
Quite important. All right, so is the volume okay from my end? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
For me I can, yeah.
Okay.
We're just waiting everybody else to join. A note that.
I was thinking, Lourdes, do you guys have like an information packet of some sort or maybe?
Oh, you didn't get the agenda? You should have received an email.
The only thing I got was was the invitation to the meeting, but no, I did not receive anything.
Oh, okay. My apologies. Let me find you. No. I mean, we're in the transition. We miss you on the email. Let me find that. I know Jonas, you're on. Do you have Guillermina's?
I thought she was part of the.
I thought so too. Hold on a minute.
I do remember checking. Unless the email is wrong. If it was wrong, that means it was copied wrong as well.
Don't worry too much. It's kind of normal. I'm just grateful to be part of today's meeting. And just if you have a minute or two after the meeting, I'm happy to have, you know, the information. But don't worry. You concentrate on the meeting.
I'm sending it right now, Guillermina.
Okay.
It should have the agenda and the meeting minutes from the February meeting.
Okay, let me see. I'll let you know when I receive that. You just concentrate on what you need to.
Yeah. I see Rosalie also joined.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Rosalie.
Hello.
Good to see and hear, folks.
Great.
I got it.
Perfect. Okay, so Mr. Patton, I'm surprised he hasn't joined yet. Let me pin him very quickly.
Do we know who's not joining?
I didn't get any regrets.
Okay. Probably Tiffany.
That would be a good guess.
Okay, I didn't get any emails, so I wasn't sure.
How about Margie?
Yeah, we're waiting on Margie. I know she's getting on. Yeah, I know she'll get on.
Yeah, okay.
So Eunice, you're sharing your screen right now.
Yeah, I just put the agenda and then whenever you want me to stop.
Because I actually had it up. I was going to share my screen. I have all the documents.
That's fine with me. I'll send it back to you.
Awesome. You get to update them.
Okay, we have one more minute to the top of the hour, so we should be in good shape of getting.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Yep. Are you going to record the Zoom?
Yes, it is being recorded, Jess. Just I told Lourdes to remind me when we go into executive session, just to remind me to stop the recording.
So are we doing executive session? Sorry, I must have missed that.
No, we okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Let me just, I'm pinging Don.
Donald's in.
Don is on, okay.
And so is Margie. I think everyone's in.
No, we're missing Luis. Luis, yeah. And Benjamin and Crystal.
Hi, this is Donald.
Hey, Donald.
Hey, Donald.
How's everyone?
Very good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, just 1 minute. I have one more pin to do. Okay. Ben should be joining. Greg, do you know about Luis?
I do not. I can text him.
No, I did. I'm just making sure that. Okay, so one, two, three, four, five. I think we do
here
have.
Here comes. Luis is on now.
Perfect. Okay, we do have quorum. We can get started.
Yeah.
Great. So, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Aspira of Delaware Charter Operation Board meeting. First of all, I certainly want to offer my deepest appreciation for everybody for joining this afternoon. I know given the circumstances, a board meeting is probably not necessarily the thing that you thought it was a priority. At the same time, given the circumstances, bringing the board together and providing an update on what's really going on with the school, I think is certainly a big priority. And so that's the reason we proceeded with the meeting. So we'll have an abbreviated agenda from the perspective of the main topics that we want to cover this evening. We'll do the approval of the meeting minutes, just so we don't keep that on the queue. We'll quickly move to the Finance Committee updates by Greg, and quick mention about Development and Operations Committee, but then really move to the next key topic, which is the head of school by Margie. This is indeed a public meeting. We did provide it with the posting of the agenda, the Zoom information for the general public to access the meeting. Let me pause very quickly just to make sure that if there is a public participating, they get the opportunity to do so or at least be acknowledged.
No one else is on. I just saw Ben is now on as well.
I just joined. Hey, everyone.
Okay, welcome. Welcome. So in doing the welcome, I also want to take the opportunity. This is the first time Guillermina Gonzalez, which is our newest member, is joined the meeting. So Guillermina, maybe if you can at least, maybe everybody can see you on the screen or those that are participating. Yes, so Guillermina.
Can you see me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You want me to make a brief introduction?
That would be wonderful. Yes. Of course, everybody got to see your resume and everybody certainly was very delighted that you had the interest to join, but please go ahead.
Well, first of all, let me thank each one of you for allowing me to be part of this extraordinary group. I've been always impressed by the tremendous inroads that Aspira has been doing in the last year. So it is not a surprise that I like to join, people like to join winning teams, and this is a winning team. So when it comes to my knowing about Aspira, I've been knowing Lourdes for the longest time, and I know since she started years ago when she was corralling a group of students on Saturdays after working for DuPont the entire day. So I've known the evolution of Aspira, and I was always well impressed. Lourdes was part of my board of directors. I come from corporate America, but after leaving corporate America, I led two not-for-profit organizations, one of those being Voices Without Borders, where she was part of my board of directors. And most recently, the Delaware Arts Alliance. I'm currently teaching at the Doctor of Business Administration program at Wilmington University, particularly two classes. We're not gonna go into details. But in any event, hope that in between my corporate America experience and the not-for-profit sector, might be able to help Aspira somehow in achieving extraordinary goals. Having said that, thank you again for the opportunity, and looking forward to collaborating with each one of you.
Thank you, Guillermina. Once again, welcome. We're absolutely thrilled that you had decided to join. Certainly, we'll take you on. Certainly, and you have seen that we already had follow up on including you on some of the activities that we're trying to get organized. So. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Yone sent the meeting minutes for February. So any comments, updates to the February meeting minutes? Do I get a motion to approve the meeting minutes and the agenda as presented?
Donald, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Second, Santiago.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Great, aye. And then Meeting minutes approved. Thank you. So let's move to the finance report. Greg?
Okay, I just popped it in there. Everyone see it?
No, we're still seeing the agenda.
Yes.
Didn't you send the document previously?
I did, but I have it on my screen. You don't see it?
No, we're seeing the agenda. Maybe you need to unshare
the agenda first.
Option. Yeah, and then, hey, Margie.
Bear with me here.
There we go. Well, nope, we see your floor.
I think we're seeing
Mr. Patton.
I don't know.
We've seen Mr. Patton's feet. We've seen the floor.
I don't know how that happened.
How about now?
Yes.
Just know there was a video of someone using the bathroom during one of these. So I would avoid that at all costs, my good friend.
Okay, let's remember this being recorded and needs to be posted.
Do you see it now?
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is the month of February. What I want to bring up here is we'll see the second page. We see our newest board member has been added.
You.
Congratulations. All right, so as we always start with, we start with revenue. And I'll try not to bounce around here too much. So for revenues for our state, our budget's 8.5 million. We have 8.6, 101%. For the local, 7.4 is our budget. We have 5.35 million or 72%. And then federal, we have 1.43 million in the budget. We actually have 1.18 million or 83%. And I will tell you that we've already gotten the rest of the charter school grants, 250. So next month's report, you will see $1 million there. So we're in good shape for the time being. The total FSF revenue budget is 17.4 million. Right now we have a total of 15.156 million or 87%. So again, everything's trending nicely. No concerns there at all. Let me scroll down. I'm used to flipping pages here. So for expenses, through the month of February, so we would be at 67% of our fiscal year, or 67% of the budget, so we want to be at or below that number. And again, like always, I'll get into the detail, but overall for expenses year to date, 17.26 million is our budget. We're at 10.63, or just 62%, which is obviously good. There are no variances to report, so I can move on. So when we look at our trending, you'll see February 20th, we are now at 10.6 million, or we spent almost $1.17 million. When we look at the chart here, the nice colorful chart, you see that our gap is actually widening between the blue, which is our revenue, and the red, which is our actual year-to-date expenditures. So again, the gap is nice, it's widening, the trend is nice, so there's absolutely no concerns there. And then we drop down to local funding update. This has been 100% for a couple months now, but no changes there. We have all of our local school district funding, which is $4.19 million.
Greg?
And then, yes?
Hey, one question.
Yep.
So the gap, the difference between our expected revenue and in our expenses, I mean, are we going to expect that to start coming back up and get closer over time? Or is it just like, what's, why? Because it's, again, that's, it seems to be really big for a while and continues, which I'm not going to complain about. But I guess I just want to make sure I level set expectations that it's either going to get closer and what's driving it to get wide and then eventually get closer. You know,
it's great question. It's definitely going to the margin will shrink. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But one of the big things is our construction. Remember, we've only gotten really one large invoice to date. All that is in the budget. So we're going to get hit with, you know, when we look at a $1.17 million spend for the month of February, that number is going to continue to go up now. So that's a great catch.
Okay.
We're still going to be safe, don't get me wrong, but that gap will definitely shrink.
Got it. Thanks.
Great question. Okay, so then this is just our cash position. And since there's no encumbered money, we just talk about year to date, which includes our carryover from last year and then all the expenditures. So down the bottom, you see $16.56 million as our actual revenue to date, again, including last year's carryover. As I mentioned a minute ago, $10.6 million are expenditures. So we've got $5.9 million on the books as of the end of February. All right, so now we're going to get into the actual expense detail. Ah, I did it again. I didn't lose you, did I?
No.
Okay, so as we always talk about, salaries is at the top. Almost 6.45 million is a budget. We're at almost 4.5 million. And if I could see this, it's about 70%, I believe. Yeah. And then other employment cost, 3.57 million is the budget. We're at 2.3, we're 65%. So it kind of balances out. The next bucket, total travel, which includes our student transportation, 1.045 million is a budget. We're at almost 725,000 or 69% of our budget. No concerns there. And then we drop all the way down to total contracted services. 2.295 million is the budget. We're at 1.17 or 51%. And Lewis, you'll see some of those construction expenses hit up in this line here. You see, we've only spent $37,000 to date. So that's one area of the budget. The expenditure is going to increase drastically in the last few months of the fiscal year. And then when we drop down to total supplies, materials, $908,000 a budget, we're at $504,000 or 56%. Nothing concerning there. And then total capital outlay equipment, $110,000 a budget. We've spent about $36,000 or 33%. But again, some of this is going to be related to the construction. And then the last subcategory is total capital outlay property. Again, where we're going to see some significant increases with construction, $2.88 million is a budget. We're at 1.37 or 48%. So again, our grand total, $17.26 million is a budget. We've spent 2.63 and we're at 62%. I know that was quick. Do I have any questions? I can flip to other pages too if needed.
Now, Greg, just could you go down to the bottom real quick, that 1.6 million for the construction? And okay, so that's the 92,000. So those two pieces, the 500,000 and the 1.6, I mean, we still got pretty much that good amount to run basically, which is 2.1 mil that we still pretty much have to get on the books, so to say.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we're in good shape.
Yep.
Even when the construction hits, we're in good shape.
So I have a question, but it has to do more with kind of going forward and sort of maybe trying to understand or predict how the current situation may or may not have an effect on the budget. But I don't know if that's something that's worth speaking about now or something that might be a topic.
Yeah, actually, evening. Ben, I had the same question, but I think we're going to have to loop back because I think we need to hear the head of school update on what is the guidance as it pertains to what's going to happen with the school year, and then roll that discussion, versus the budget. But let me allow Greg to offer any commentary that he can add to address your question, because I have exactly the same question. But I figured that we need to understand what really is going to happen with the school year to then analyze ultimately what potentially is the impact to the budget. So, Greg, any comments on that?
For sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think this will parlay into what we'll discuss later. So I can give you a general idea. We have what we call local school generated revenue, which is really all the revenue we I don't want to say collect, but we earn for all our school programs, like the extended care program, summer camps included, all the extended care programs. As a general measure, what I can tell you, if you look at the budget, and I have been in this budget heavy since this all started, there's a loss of revenue that we're incurring every day, but I don't want to alarm anyone. We're going to talk about it later. But it's a legitimate question, and I think it's going to fall right into our discussion later if that's good enough for us.
Any other comments or questions regarding the budget? And I guess I missed to announce that Greg and Margie requested that we do an executive session after our regular meeting. That's the reason we're also trying to accelerate the agenda, because it has to do with personnel discussions. So it needs to really be done on the executive session. So comments or questions?
Well, otherwise, just to know, because I don't know, when you say executive session, who includes?
It's a board without the public. We need to close to the public. It's no longer a public meeting.
Okay.
And sorry, what's the executive session reason?
It's personnel.
Personnel, okay.
So if there's no questions to the budget, do I have a motion to approve the report, the financial report?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second. Dow.
All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Okay, so financial report approved. Greg, if you can put the agenda up again, please.
Oh, wrong one. Can you see that?
No, we're actually seeing Donald's nice view of his house. So probably he needs to point the camera.
I think
right
Mr. Pat's just showing off. He wants us to show all the remodeling he's done.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how y'all see it on this. But...
So Donald, there you go.
Hey. Okay, now we go back to the agenda. The next topic was around development. I just want to say, as you can imagine, with the school closed, Viva Aspira was canceled. And obviously, any development activities are, for all practical purposes, on hold until, you know, we figure out what's going to happen with the school year, which Margie is about to give us an update on that. And regarding the capital campaign, as you know, we're still very much in the planning phases. We did have a meeting with the committee that we're recruiting for volunteers. I think that first interaction, went well. We still have people committed to work with us. Of course, there are a couple of things we have to revisit from a timing perspective of what is possible given the conditions regarding to the pandemic and all the limitations that we had. The committee agreed to have a follow-up meeting on April 2nd, so that would be our next interaction, and we'll continue to update on how things are going. But very much, really, we're still on the planning phases of that effort. And as you know, it's sort of the silent phase as well as the public. That silent phase is probably what we will work on this year and even next, and not be ready for a public. I can tell you though that we're 100% board participation. We did meet that first milestone. So yeah. Congratulations and thank you, 100%.
Did you get my letter? You got my letter? Did you really get mine?
Oh yeah, Sarah, we had it.
I thought I texted you that we got it. Yes.
Yeah, I never checked Lynn's mailbox. It's killing me. That's the one place I looked on her desk. I looked all up front and I never looked in her mailbox until Lourdes sent me a text. Hey, did you check her mailbox?
I was ready to cancel that check.
No, sorry. Yeah, so 100%. So you have no idea how grateful and I am, for the board. And I know we did have a transition in terms of board members, but we also have the committee that is participating. That is my next target audience. So we'll capture the rest of the people in that group. But for the team that we made the first request, we're 100%. So congratulations and thank you. With that, Greg, a quick update on the construction for the school.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm very happy to report that construction is, I'm going to tell you, ahead of schedule. They are really just, they're killing it over there. And I know there was a mad rush because I think the fear was they might get shut down. But obviously, they're able to continue, which was great news from the last executive order that came out on Sunday. But there's drywall that's up now. They are actually, I mean, all the HVAC is pretty much done on the inside. It's amazing how much work has been done. They have Assurance Media, who is like, they're the ones that do the interactive technology. They pull all the cabling. So it doesn't matter who uses what cables. They pull all the cabling. They're going in next Monday. So it looks great. I was talking to Margie about it today. I'm actually scheduled to go over there tomorrow. I only go over once a week. So every time I go over there, I'm blown away by how much is getting done. But they are going hard at it. They had a lot of materials that were, I'll just say, advanced because they were afraid that, again, things might get shut down. So, you know, it's kind of like a blessing in disguise because now there are a lot of businesses that are not allowing people to work. So there's a lot of people, you know, we talk about social distancing. They're doing the best they can. And Nolan has been the owner. You know, it's a family-run construction company, but they have been well in tune with what's going on and doing everything they can to make sure that they're doing the right thing. But I'm just very happy to report, one, that we're able to continue, and they might not admit it, but I know they're ahead of schedule. So if things keep going the way they're going, we'll finish by May 31st.
That is outstanding news.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so any comments or questions on the from Development Committee or Operations Committee?
No, fine.
Perfect. Margie, head of school updates.
Greg,
so Margie, I'm going to stop sharing. So now, now it's on you.
Okay. Let me see. I got a lot of things open here. Let's start with this one. Okay.
Good.
It is hard to maneuver on this thing. Okay. So enrollment update. So as you know, May 20th was the critical date for choice. That's when all students and families have to make a decision regarding any choice decision, so outside of their feeder. So that's when we really could get a better read as to where we were falling with our enrollment. For kindergarten, 73 kindergartners are accepted the invitation. So we sent out invitations from the wait list already to get to our full complement. And then the other one that was important for us to watch is where we landed with ninth graders. We have 62 ninth graders that have accepted. Remember that our goal was to have 120 students in that first ninth grade class, but that is subject to change based on where we land. Obviously, this school closure and everything sort of coming to a standstill definitely impacts our ability to market and, you know, host open houses and really drum up more interest and enrollment. So we'll have to talk about how we possibly readjust what that ninth grade class looks like. As far as the number that actually committed from our eighth grade class, 32 of the students, 32 of the 62 are actually eighth grade students. So, you know, our goal was always to have 50% or more of the ninth grade class to be aspirantes. So we're just there, and we'll see where we go from there. Obviously, enrollment can continue all the way until the end of September, but we're looking to, once school reopens and business gets back to normal, obviously starting to drum up our marketing campaign and host some more events to get to at least 100. Any questions about enrollment?
Are you, so on your waiting list, you said 146. Is that the true number, 146?
Active, yes.
So we should have plenty to, I mean, ideally, we should have plenty to go after.
Yeah, to so that's to, where we, but that's where we have to have a discussion. If we want to sort of change the balance and mm-hmm. have a greater amount of non-aspirantes versus aspirantes, then yes, we can tap into the wait list and invite non-aspirantes mm-hmm. to fill the gap. So, but we have to understand that there's obviously consequences for that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From an academic perspective, right, Margie?
Academic and also the culture, the school culture that, you know, we feel that we work so hard to really instill in our students. So, you know, it would really change the dynamic of that ninth grade class. But, you know, right now everything's open for consideration. We're really just anxious to see when things get back to normal and school gets back into session to see how much time that gives us to actually increase that enrollment.
Including internal or we already know 32 is the number?
32 is the number for now. I mean, things do change. You know, they have to make at least a decision to their choice school. I mean, charter schools do have a 1-year agreement. And, you know, as we know, it's not legally binding. Some charter schools are really strict about enforcing that. Others are not. I don't believe the district choice schools have a 1-year agreement, so a student can choose to back out of that. Is that correct, Mr. Patton?
Yep, if the superintendent of the school district allows it, and the board, our board, for instance, would always say it didn't make any difference. Yes, they can come back. But they can come back. It's just a collaborative thing on usually the money.
Sure.
Margie, remind me again, what is the current total for the eighth grade class?
103.
So that's mm-hmm. only 30%.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, which is interesting. That's where MOT was the first year. When they gave me that percentage, I thought, wow, that's so low that we're going to be so much higher than that. But one thing that the other schools kept cautioning us about is that first class is going to be a low percentage. It's going to be a low retention rate because students are looking for a new experience and they think the grass is greener on the other side. But what they all found is that the second year of operation, a lot of those students wanted to come back.
Okay.
Any other questions? Any other questions about enrollment before I move on? Okay. So now we're going to move on to the big situation at hand, which is COVID-19 and the impact that it's had on schools, in our school in particular. So what I want to do is share a different document with you. I guess, Greg, since you're the host, can you unshare that so I can share something else?
I think you have to unshare.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have the
red stop share button somewhere.
Oh, I see. There you go. Thank you. This is quite a learning process. What do I want to show you first?
This is probably my 100th Zoom meeting by now. So.
So I thought that what we could use as a discussion item is this document, this communication that I prepared for the team. What we're going to be doing is Greg and I are hosting a virtual team meeting tomorrow at 2:00. So I'm going to walk you through sort of the summary that we've put together. Hold on a second. Okay. So just want everybody to know that there's a lot that's been going on. I mean, Greg and I were in a meeting today and you know, we're not even through the second week of this closure. And I can tell you that especially for Greg and I and for most of the admin team, it feels like we've been at this for a month. It's been a lot of heavy lifting happening behind the scenes. The first week, the initial communication went out to our school community. I mean, when we were at the end of the week, which is March 12th, March 13th, we knew that a closure was pending. It was a matter of whether or not the governor was going to call it statewide or whether or not we were going to have to then do something individually. But we knew that a closure was coming. The good thing is that we were able to give our team a heads up. So before they left for the weekend that week on the 13th, we asked them to take all their devices, take all of their curriculum materials, take whatever they needed in order to just assume that we're not coming back to the building for a while. So the majority of them were able to do that. And then Greg right away got with his team and started a schedule to get our facilities as well as some of our nutrition employees in to start doing a thorough cleaning of the building. And that started that week and continued the next week. But really that first week, what we all agreed on was that it was important that we really focus on self-care. I think we were all struggling with exactly what was going on in the world and how it was going to impact ourselves and our families. So it was really important that all of us sort of take time to determine what our needs were and really address our family needs in order for us to then move forward. You know, they always use that analogy of the oxygen mask on the plane. You've got to put it on yourself first before you can help others. So that was really the focus of week one. But then when we started week two, which was this week, we then got the communication from the governor that it was going to be extended until May 15th, which really changes the whole picture. So we went ahead and sent out a communication to the school community with that notification. And then we started with next steps of what our school closure plan would look like. The first thing we did is we created a family needs survey, which was completed online for many of our families, but those that did not complete it online, we went ahead and called them individually. And it was a set of questions that basically allowed us to identify whether or not the family had internet access, reliable internet access, as well as whether the child, the student, had access to a technology device, whether it be a tablet or a laptop or a desktop. And then also finding out whether that family needed to get access to the free school meals that are being offered. And what we were able to do is sort of help them determine what the most convenient location was. So basically we broke out into three work groups: family needs, which is spearheaded by Greg and his team; educator support, which is spearheaded by Emily, our director of curriculum and instruction, as well as Amber Metz, who oversees our technology, instructional technology; and then student engagement. So starting with the family needs work group, what we were able to do, as I mentioned, we had quite a few non-respondents to the online survey. So we divvied up the list and did a phone bank and reached those families and did the survey over the phone so that we could have a true reflection of what the needs were for our students. We then compiled those responses and were able to sort of group the students by need. So we know what number the students that have limited internet access, we know the students that have need a device, and then the students that need access to meals. What they did is Greg and INL, our IT person, did a great job along with Lilia to establish a technology helpline and then send out a communication to those families that needed a device. And today was the first day for pickup at the school. And Greg, if you want to just tell us, you know, how that went. It was quite a logistical undertaking because obviously we wanted to practice social distancing. So there was a lot of thought given to every touch point to make sure that we were being very mindful of not spreading germs. Greg, do you want to?
Yeah, exactly. So tonight was the first night. So we set up time periods today or tonight from 4 to 6 was the first. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon, and then again 4 to 6 p.m. And then we're even going to be out here Saturday again from 10 a.m. to noon. We also coordinated with the performing arts team to use a different door. So if you can imagine our school and the way you come into our park lot, you drive all the way around to the front or the main office. Parents do not get out of the vehicle. We've got staff members in gloves with wipes, and we're doing everything we can to keep them separated. But they actually go out there and they hand them the device. They sign off that they're getting the device, and also there's obviously a user agreement that they're agreeing to. I don't know how many. They were quite busy, and I had to come in here. I know we had several pickups today. We originally, from the survey, We were in the 70s that just needed Chromebooks. And I think we're probably pushing about 100, but we expected it. The entire team has done a wonderful job communicating so we can build on this list. And now we have any requests that are coming in now, we're basically telling parents, it's fine, but you're going to have to come Saturday because we have to pull the Chromebook. We have to label it. We have to record. We got to make sure there's a certain, it's a process, right? We have everything, make sure everyone gets the same packet, but I think it's going well. What I started to talk about was the performing arts team. So we figured, well, if there's students that need instruments, which there are, how can we make this at least painful for all the families? We don't want them to have to make two trips to the school. So we call it two-stop shopping. Anyone that needs an instrument, they leave the main office, again, staying in their vehicle. They drive around to the front because that's the way out to the exit, and they stop and get their instrument. If they don't need an instrument, they just simply keep on going. So she'll be set up. I know Heather was out there today. I don't know who's going to be there tomorrow, but we'll have someone set up with the instruments until they're gone. That correlates with the exact schedule that we're distributing our devices. So, I think tomorrow we'll get hammered with some more requests because I think word is out. And even though we've done everything we can to reach out to families that didn't reply to the survey, I think, again, Facebook and people are live now know that we're doing everything we can to make sure each student has a device. And we're going to continue to do that.
And the other thing regarding internet access, Verizon and Comcast have been proactive in trying to offer more free hotspots. So INL, our IT person, has gone out and sort of tested some of those hotspots so that he can actually walk families through exactly how to get access to those through the Chromebook. And like I said, there's going to be in a technology helpline, which is puts them directly in touch with INL. We learned about, this has been like truly a learning process. We also learned, aside from Zoom being a great tool that we've never used before, we also learned about Google Voice. Is that right, Greg?
Yes.
So you can establish a phone number. So that way, as opposed to us giving out our cell phone numbers for point of contact, you're able to set up a phone number through Google. And so we did that so that there's this technology helpline number that INL has. So the call goes directly to his cell phone. It's just that the caller does not see his cell phone number. And then as far as the next steps is to really get the building, shut down the building after this weekend. So we've told the team that if there's anything they need to get, they need to coordinate that with Greg so that, we limit the number of people in the building. We're not allowing any students in the building, but we are allowing team members to get in their classrooms if they need to pick up any instructional materials. But we're going to shut that down after this weekend. One of the things that we want to do is definitely reduce expenses at this time. So we want to turn off the lights, we want to turn down the thermostat, and we want to close the building. So that is the family needs work group. Any questions about that?
Nope.
All right. The educator support work group. The intent behind that group was that we realized that not every educator is equally comfortable with moving to a distance learning format. So we really needed to support all of them in learning how to use the platforms and the technology and the tools that are now available, many of them for free. So Amber Metz, who oversees our technology, our instructional technology efforts, she's done a great job along with Emily of getting that information all together. And they hosted technical support Zoom meetings all this week by grade level. So they met with the kindergarten team and then the first grade team. They even met with the specials team. They met with the special ed teachers so that each group of educators has a better understanding of how to navigate these different tools. And then obviously helps them to now start formulating their plans on how they're going to deliver distance learning. Then the last work group is student engagement. So student engagement is our remote learning efforts. So once they learned how to use the tools, they then conducted planning sessions. So Jose And Brian facilitated planning sessions with their different grade level teams and really walked through exactly what this is going to look like. We're using a template that really gives the student, it's going to give the student sort of a week at a glance. So they'll get their whole week assignments and activities so that they can pick and choose how they do it when they do it. But the expectation is that those activities are completed by the end of the week. So as far as the teachers, what we're foreseeing is that they'll be expected to be engaged in student learning Monday through Thursday, and then Friday will be sort of a planning day for the following week. So that is the other thing that we have to keep in mind in this distance learning plan is that we need to show evidence of student growth. So as you probably have heard, the waiver, this Delaware did submit a waiver to the U.S. Department of Education to have our state assessment, not count or not be given this year, and it was approved. So our students will not be taking Smarter Balance, but we also wanted to be sure that that was going to also not hurt us as far as accountability. So making sure that all of the things that trigger that accountability piece, whether it's the DSSF report card, whether it's component 5 for our educators, that all of those accountability metrics were going to be basically null and void for this spring. So that was done, but what's important is that for distance learning, we need to have a mechanism that demonstrates that students are showing mastery of the standards so that we can then show that they have met the milestones to be promoted to the next grade. Because although right now we're working under the assumption that we're going to be back in session after May 15th, the possibility is that this may get extended until the end of the school year. So we may not get the opportunity to see our kids this school year. And so we've got to really prepare for both scenarios. So included in our distance learning plan are also assessments or methods that we're going to use in order to show and demonstrate evidence of student growth. So that's really important. So those are the three work groups that have been created, and it's been working really nicely to sort of divide and conquer, because up to that point, the administrative team was meeting three times a week remotely to talk about next steps. Now we were able to sort of in these work groups bring in the rest of the team so that all of us are working together and collectively. So it's really helped us be really productive. So this is where we are now. Today I had a conference call with Kendall. That's another shout out that I want to give is that it's been amazing to number one, see the team, how they really have stepped up and really have gone above and beyond and really trying to do all the right things for students. Many of our teachers already took the initiative of contacting students, putting together plans. It was really a matter of waiting for the green light so that we could go out collectively, and it wasn't sort of, sporadic. But the teachers are definitely very committed to making this work the best that they can. But the other thing is Kendall, as our leader in the charter school network, she's done a great job representing all charter schools. She sits on a task force that was created by the governor, and it consists of three superintendents, one from each county, and it includes a CFO from the districts, one for each county. So really Kendall's the only person, the only voice on this task force really representing charter schools, and she's done a great job of representing us and then reporting back to us and having regular meetings with the charter leaders as well as the business managers. So Greg and I have both participated in multiple Zoom sessions with her and the group to really learn what the latest and greatest is. So as much as possible, she's been able to give us a heads up before things happen. Many times it's not much of a heads up, like the other night before it was announced that May 15th was gonna be the new date. She gave us we got 15 minute notice before it came out, So it's not as if we get a lot of lead time and are able to prepare communication. Once the information goes out, we're then scrambling to put the communication together and send it out. But now today we had an update with her. shortly after that meeting, we then got an email that she forwarded to us, Secretary Bunting. So in that, it is stating that every district and charter school needs to complete a remote learning plan, and it's due to the Department of Education by April 3rd, which is next Friday. And in this plan, we need to account for completion of 1,060 hours for students and also 188 teacher days. And that needs to be accomplished no later than June 30th. So one of the things that I just want to make you aware of is that, you know, all the charter schools, all the districts and charter schools have been given sort of a certain level of flexibility to determine what works best for them. So for example, we can decide whether or not we're going to keep spring break as those 6 days off of school, or whether we're going to convert spring break into regular school days. And so every district and charter is making that decision for themselves. The consensus on the charter network has been pretty much that we're giving up the spring break. And that's also what we're recommending. We want to keep the Good Friday, which is the 10th, I believe. And then we're recommending that we keep the Monday after Easter, but then the rest of the 4 days of that week convert it back to regular school days. One of the things I want to show you is, actually, let me stop sharing this. I'm going to go to another document. Oops, that didn't work, did it? Can you see it? No. Share screen. I'm going to go to this document. So this is a document that Greg and I do every year. So when we present the school calendar for the following year to the board, we also show you this hours document. So 1060 is the magical number for students. So we have to show in our calendar that we've accounted for 1,060 instructional hours. So this is our updated, our tentative schedule. And so right now, if you look at March, so our schools closed down on the 16th. So you can see that's the first week. So those are all zeros for our students, right? So there was no learning happening last week, and there is no learning happening this week. However, starting on Monday, the 30th, our goal is that they would then start engaging with their teachers and start actually doing remote learning. Now, based on age group, the amount of time that a student should be engaged in remote learning differs, right? So it's anywhere from a kindergartner is like 30 to 45 minutes. And then a high school student can be up to like 3-4 hours. So there's a really big range. So when I put in there, I was just playing around with these numbers, because when I got the email from Secretary Bunting, I wanted to see where we were with our hours. If, you know, so let's say we only stuck to 2 hours of instructional time every day starting on Monday. There's no way that we could complete our 1060 by the end of our scheduled last day of school, which is June 9th. So then I went back and said, okay, if we increase that to 4 hours for next week, and then after that, we have to get to 6.5, which is what our normal school day is. That's the only way that we're going to get to 1060. So you can see that 1060. And that's also what we're doing there is, if you look at the month of April, we're keeping the 10th and the 13th as days off for spring break, but we're converting the 14th through the 20th as regular school days. So we're giving up the rest of our spring break as scheduled. Also, the Friday before Memorial Day, which is the 22nd, we would convert that to a regular school day here, the 22nd of May. We would keep Memorial Day off because that's a state holiday. And then the last day of school being the 9th, which is usually a half day, we would convert it to a full day. And that puts us at exactly 1060. This is one of the things that we need to decide as a school. So this is one of the flexibilities that the Department of Education is giving us. They're not mandating that, you know, these days, they're not saying these days are forgiven. They're saying each charter school and each district has to decide how they're going to meet that 1060 number. So for us to hit that 1060 number, this is what it would look like. We have the option of extending the school year up to June 30th if we chose to do so. But I will tell you that I am leaning against that idea because it has other implications for us. For example, and we'll get into it more during executive session, but as Greg mentioned, you know, we're losing revenue right now from not having our extended care program. And so right after the last day of school, we start our summer camp. Our summer camp is a big revenue generator for us, and we're fully enrolled and have a wait list for our summer camp. So if we extend our school year, it then will impact our ability to start summer camp. So I'm really trying to see how we can make this work within the scheduled time so that life can get back to normal after the 9th of June and we just roll into summer break and get ready for the next school year. Any questions about that?
It's certainly a lot to digest. And I got to first start by saying just what a remarkable job you guys are all doing. And then, you know, I'm very impressed with how you guys have been able to kind of organize and coordinate, identify student needs. And, you know, there's a lot of attention being paid right now to healthcare workers, but I think very clearly, you know, educators are also kind of unsung heroes and doing the best they can with shoestrings and chewing gum. So we really appreciate all your guys' hard work.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I certainly echo Ben's comment. Margie, my only question would be, maybe I don't know how much flexibility there is. And, you know, the next week, the idea is to start with the 4 hours and then the following week convert to the 6.5. Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity to give it a try for 1 week of 6.5 and see how that plays out? And that will give you and the team to make decisions when you do actually have the Good Friday, you know, Easter break to then make the assessment for the rest of April and May to make that final decision.
Yeah, what's hard is that right now what we need to do is put together a plan for the team and show them exactly what days are going to count towards their days too. Mm-hmm. Because if you go, I'm driving here. So the other worksheet that I created was for teacher days. So the goal for teacher days is we've got to have 188, right? Mm-hmm. So I did the same exercise for the teacher days. So right here, we started with the closure. So it's all zeros. Starting this week though, we have been pushing hard on our team to basically say, this is not vacation, we're not on vacation. I know we've all adjusted and we gave you a week to basically self-care and sort of get things in order. But as of this Monday, we have gone back to just, you know, meeting virtually and planning and getting a lot done. So if I then, you know, track that accordingly, so starting on the 23rd, they're putting in their 7.5 hours, they'll do the same next week. Keep the 10th and the 13th off, we roll into the end of the, right now, they always stay a couple days after the students. So if the last day for students is June 9th and they stay till 11th, we're at 191. So we could cut back on that last day and make it a half day or a three quarters of a day in order to hit 188, but that's where we're at. So I don't really see any way around not giving up the 4 days of spring break.
Oh no, I mean, I certainly was not, I mean, that's a given in my view. I guess what I was maybe questioning is the for the students moving from 4 to 6.5, so not to add to the June 9th. Do you have flexibility to make that final decision after you give it a try for a week or so.
That's the thing, is that I can't keep the teachers past the 188.
Oh, okay.
You see?
I understand. It's the other way around.
So okay. I've got to look at both scenarios. I've got to look at how many hours the teachers are completing or how many days they're completing, and then how many hours that's translating into instructional hours.
So if I understand it correctly, I mean, this is just what you've worked up here is kind of how it has to work.
Yeah, I sort of have to look at it from both sides to see whether or not it's still realistic for us to stay with June 9th as the last day for students.
Right, because it's both the staff and the student hours.
Exactly.
Okay, that's and so based upon your crunching of the numbers and taking into account a little bit of flexibility, this is kind of, I don't say it's ideal, but this is the scenario that we kind of have to get comfortable with.
Sure, exactly. Okay. And what it does is that, you know, obviously right now we have the one scenario that we get back into school starting on May the 19th. But even with that said, let's say that all of a sudden school, this closure gets extended, and like Kansas, we don't get to see the students for the rest of the school year. I think maintaining this same schedule for students and for staff is also still feasible and allows us to still meet our requirements.
Yeah, okay. It's almost like, honestly, like there's not a lot of room for, like this is it.
Yeah.
So when you were saying it with the instructional hours for the students, it felt that way. So this makes complete sense. And honestly, while it's going to be tough, you know, assume we go virtually through the entire year, at least there is some sort of plan in place and really great job on this, honestly. But yeah, it kind of is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So this is sort of the information I've been pulling together. We didn't know until like 2:00 this afternoon that we were all going to have to submit a plan to the secretary by next Friday. But you know, we were already working on our plan internally. But obviously now that we're submitting it to the secretary, I just want to be sure that we cover all of these different things. That's really the only, I guess, stipulation that she has in her information is that the hours for students and the days for teachers. Aside from that, it's sort of left very open-ended for districts and charters to figure out what does that look like, you know? So it doesn't seem as if, you know, we're going to be, I guess, scrutinized as far as like show us proof that they did this and that for 6.5 hours, et cetera. So we have to be sensitive to the fact there's only so much you can do online learning, you know, but we're going to have to incorporate some things in there, such as independent reading and independent activities that take them offline. And that's going to be really important in this plan that we put together.
God, what a mess. This is not a comment on you. It's just like, this is
crazy.
This is insane.
Yeah. It is.
Is this taking into account, I mean, I know that the there's a martial arts studio by my house that somehow is operating as a day camp for parents that have to work.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids that are expected to be 6.5 hours online, or so to speak, just in class. I mean, I think this is very helpful just for a parent to see, because now I'm panicking. I said that we had devices, but if I have to have two kids on two different devices, I didn't account for that. Well, I account for everybody being on our home computer.
Yes, you're not alone, Sarah. That's what's been, poor Greg, you know, we had 77 devices prepared for pickup today. And then the emails started coming in, bombarding Greg and the team, because even our own teachers who also have students in the school were saying, well, wait a second, I was assuming that my child was going to use my laptop, but I need my laptop to do remote learning, so I need their device. So I think that number is up to 100. I think it's going to continue to increase. So Greg, make sure you put down Sarah.
One more for the Pesci.
We got you covered. No worry.
And I had a friend. I know her son's home all day by himself, and I said, "Did you make sure he got a laptop? Because I know he doesn't have anything but a phone." So,
yeah.
So Sarah, just so you know, you need to come to the school on Saturday between 10 and noon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll take care of it.
So that is, the plan is still a work in progress. So I don't have that complete for you to show you now, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what's going to be going into it. It's going to have to take into account the hours that students are expected to be learning. Obviously that learning is going to take different different formats, and then obviously the number of days that teachers are going to have to do. But it's important in this team meeting that we have tomorrow, Greg and I really want to be up front with the team and let them know, you know, a lot of people have put in a lot of hours, and right now they're sort of still sort of unclear as to whether our school year is being extended or not. And so, you know, they really need to know that in order to understand what this is looking like for themselves as well. So I think tomorrow we're going to be able to give them that clarity.
I think one just, and I can imagine you're probably considering this as well, but in communicating with parents and families, I think it's going to be important to make sure that we explain why, you know, we kind of put forward a schedule of, you know, hours and how this is going to kind of work. Also explaining the reasons why, because I think parents might see this and be like, how the heck am I going to, you know, get to keep the kid online for 6.5 hours? And I think, you know, I think the more clear and kind of bite-sized you can make the information and transparent, because there's no hiding the ball here. There's no secret that the government is mandated that they have to do X, Y, Z, and then you as a school and as an employer have certain obligations to your staff. So, like, putting it in that way, I think it's not ideal, but I think you'll find perhaps people will be much more kind of understanding and willing to kind of give this a shot.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, because that's the other sensitivity around this, is that we can't expect our parents to all of a sudden become teachers, to basically become, you know, homeschooling teachers, and to create this whole schedule every single day to have their students in school for 7 hours, you know. But we need to find a good compromise, meet our obligations, and obviously give students an opportunity to continue to grow. So, you know, we really are scaling down the content that we're going to be covering and the standards that we're going to be covering. So it really is going to be a condensed version of our planned curriculum and scope of sequence, you know. Yeah. But it's the best that we can do for now.
And the good news is everyone's in the same boat. I mean, every school district, and whether it's Tower Hill or Tatnall or,
exactly,
the other institution, is just everyone is having to figure this out in this way. So I guess the only hope is that people will be understanding, and there will also be some flexibility on the government/regulation side.
Yes, exactly.
Margie, we got some communication from Red Clay, and I don't know if this just covered the 2 weeks, but no new material could be presented. Is that for the whole school year, or is it just for the 2 weeks?
I'm pretty sure that was for the 2 weeks. Okay. That was for the 2 weeks, because we were all waiting for just more clarification from the Department of Education. It's now included in what we got this afternoon. So it does state that, hold on, I can go to that document. I think I have it open. Do I have it open? No, I don't think I have it open. Anyway, in the letter from the secretary, she does give a little bit more guidance as far as high level standards. You know, she's not expecting all standards to be covered. So let me see. So this is what I want to just show you what the calendar is looking like. So basically, looking at the calendar version that we give parents, you know, everything that's crossed out is not happening. So if you look at March 16th, that's when the closure began. And then going through April and May, showing all the things that are not going to happen. Looking at spring break, basically now reduced to the 10th and the 13th. We'll go through the month of May, and aside from our board meetings, everything else is crossed out. We jump into June, and we keep the last day as is. One thing I'll need to change here, after I did this and then I did the hours document, I'll need to convert the 9th into a full day of school in order for us to meet that required 1060 hours. So that was the calendar. And then the other thing was, let me go back to my document. Okay. So as I mentioned, then tomorrow we have our virtual team meeting at 2. I'm going to be walking through the same document with them. It's the first time that we actually get everybody together. We're hoping that we don't have any glitches. We've been told that Zoom holds up to 120, Greg?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so we're hoping that we're going to have enough to hold the full team meeting. Provide them with updates and obviously answer any questions that they have. You know, I think at this time, a lot of the questions have been answered as far as the state test, so that information came out. But we anticipate that the biggest question people are going to have is, you know, what's going on with our school calendar? Is it staying the way it is, or are there changes? So I'll be sharing with them what I just shared with you, so that they know that, hey, every day going forward, every day this week and every day going forward counts as a work day. And then what we have to put together are the work expectations. And that's going to look different for, you know, a teacher versus a paraprofessional versus somebody on the nutrition team or the facilities team. But there are work expectations tied to this. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. And then obviously, we'll be putting together communication for the families and the students. Now, looking at most of the school districts, Tuesday is their start date for distance learning. So what they've designated is Monday. They're making that sort of a planning day for their teachers, and then starting with student engagement on Tuesday. So we need to see how much we're able to accomplish tomorrow. Ideally, what we wanted to do is send out the communication to our families tomorrow and actually start with student engagement on Monday. Now, keep in mind that next week, if you sort of think about how we start a school year, every school year you sort of ease into it, and we do sort of the first 6 weeks of school, which is where you're really setting the norms and the expectations and the culture and all of that. And so we're going to have to sort of do that for the first couple of days next week, really helping our students learn how to use these tools. You know, even us as adult learners, we all have, you know, we're fumbling around with the Zoom thing. We're trying to figure out how to share stuff and how to chat versus talk, you know, and how to mute and unmute. So we're going to have some of that the first couple of days and then jump into actual instruction. So we'll send that communication out to the families, also let them know if they haven't heard about the fact that we won't be having a state test, but that we will have to show evidence of student, you know, growth, and what that's going to look like, and then, you know, share with them the revisions to the school calendar. So the goal is for that to go out Friday, if not Friday, Saturday at the latest. And then as we look forward, week 3 through 9, which is March 30th through May 8th, what we're anticipating right now is that we're going to continue to, you know, work through our, you know, set the work expectations, and team members will be expected to live up to those expectations as outlined. And then we'll execute the student engagement plan by the 31st. Like I said, we're hoping that we'll do it the 30th. And then if all goes well, then on the week 10, which would be May 11th through the 15th, we will be preparing for reopening the school. So we'll be having the entire team report back to work for planning and preparation. We'll do another cleaning. The teachers will get into their classroom. It's sort of like the start of school year part two. We're gonna have to do all of the same things that we do in August. To get ready for students that will start then on the 18th, if, you know, God willing. But obviously, we're also prepared for the possibility that changes and we don't get that opportunity, and we move, the closure just continues. Any questions?
That's a no.
So, Margie, I mean, this is Lourdes, as it's been said before, and this is incredible, the amount of work that the team have put together, and I certainly, you know, hope for the best in terms of the interaction with the entire team tomorrow. I'd be curious what reactions you get, so I certainly would appreciate a quick text or email. Okay. if there's any question. I mean, certainly, you know, you can offer the full support from the board, and we certainly we're all thinking about the staff and we're hoping for the best. And we certainly appreciate the willingness and flexibility that everybody seems to be expressing and willing to work with all of this. At the end of the day, you know, this continues to show the commitment that we have to the kids and the, ultimately the accountability that we have for the safety of them as well, but also for their instruction and education. So our deepest appreciation.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have a quick question, and sure. And I am also, like others, very impressed with everything you've done.
Thank you.
I was wondering, for that, since you'll be communicating with the team tomorrow, for that week where you're going back, that you said they will have to come in, but mm-hmm. kids still won't be in school, mm-hmm. I imagine that you've already thought about teachers who will have kids who won't have childcare. Like, what is the expectation around that?
Yeah, so we're going to have to see what the limitations are. We're hopeful that we're going to be able to do what we usually do when we get back into session in August, which is that we actually provide childcare for our school-age students. And, you know, the ECDC would open up for all the students that are enrolled in that program. And then the school-age students, they're actually assigned to a caregiver, which is actually one of our team members, you know, that don't have instructional responsibilities. So that's the way we've always done the start of the school year. So basically would mimic that. Now, obviously, if we have restrictions placed on us and we're told that, you know, we can't have more than 10 people in the building, et cetera, that's definitely going to throw a monkey wrench in this plan. But that is the hope, is that we'll have that week to prepare for the opening of the school.
Great, great. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I had then, Lourdes, if you want to go into executive session.
Any other comments or questions? Because that would take us to the last agenda item of the public session.
Yeah, no, I think if we can move to executive session, let's do so.
Yeah, so can I have a motion to move to executive session, please?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Do all those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Greg, could you please stop the recording? Is it going?
Okay.
Do I get a motion to move into the public session?
Motion to move to a public session.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we're going into the back from the executive session, discuss personnel updates, and now I actually need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Santiago.
Do I have a second?
Second, Yunus.
Second, Yunus. And well, thank you everybody for participating, and I'm very much and very grateful that you made this a priority to get hear the updates from the financial report as well as the head of schools. So please stay safe. And most likely we'll continue this forum for our meeting in April, and we'll keep everybody updated. Thank you for participating. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.